place to turn to this morning. God is calling us to come to Him in spite of it not making sense. We have nowhere else to go. We can always, always come to Him.
Forever. sorry. If God's been good in your life, let's give him a hand today. Let's thank him for who he is. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, God, for the good, God, for being there in the bad, God. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. God is so good. You could be seated this morning. Today is a special day, one of my favorite days here at Calvary Gospel Church. It is Baby Dedication Sunday. If this is your first time here, or maybe you've been to part of one of these because you have a family member who's had multiple kids, welcome back. If this is your first time here, welcome. We do this twice a year where we dedicate our children to the Lord, and we'll go into that in a little bit. But we're so glad you're here. If you're a visitor and you want to get to know a little bit more about us, or you don't mind if we ask you a few questions, we have a little card in the back. If you could fill that out, very simple, name, phone number. I promise we're not going to call you about your car warranty expiring. Okay, that's not us. That's somebody else. But a couple announcements before we get rolling into things is, first off, for next Sunday, the 12th, we have a new round of New Life classes starting. So New Life classes, some of you have been through this before, but it's a way to kind of, I would say, kickstart. You start to get to know God. Maybe you're coming to church. You're like, I want to know a little bit more. I don't know where to start. This is a great place to start. It's a 101 level, 201 level, 301, about 8 weeks roughly each time. And great teachers, great content. If you want to learn a little bit more about God and his word and teach you how to learn more about God and his word, I would highly recommend the New Life classes that are starting next week. Also next Sunday on March 12th, we have a ladies event from 4 to 6. Yes, we could be excited. It's okay. They're going to an escape room. As a group, the cost is $36 a person. Sister Lindsay, I see you over there. Can you wave your hand? Everybody, maybe stand up so people see your hand. The Sister Lindsay, you can find her, and she'll take your money and make sure you're signed up for the escape room. So it's going to be, that's the monthly event for March, as a reminder for all these groups. If you go onto the app, you can find when their events are if you click on events. So, and then the last thing I had before we roll into this, also we're not going to be passing anything for giving, but people that are interested, we do have a box in the backs to give to. We're fully 2023. You can give online, you can give by mail, you can give there's an app as well. But either way, we just want to make sure those options are available. So baby dedication. How this works today, let me give you a quick overview if this is your first time or maybe don't remember how we've done this before. Well, we're going to introduce all the families, so you're going to get a chance to meet the children and the parents. Okay, we're going to do that right away. Then we're going to have the dedication. We're going to take a time where, just so you're not surprised, if you're a member of the family, we're going to ask the whole church to stand, and we're going to ask you to come up and stand with your family as a show of support. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to take the mic or sing or anything. Just stand by your family and show support. And then Pastor Roy is going to be giving a message, and today it's always geared towards parents and children in the baby dedication theme. But also, I have said for years now, since we've been doing this, that I believe that God's word is powerful. And I believe that there's a lesson for me in this, whether I have a child or not, or whether I have an infant or not, or whether I'm dedicating or not. So I would encourage you to listen to see what God has for you in this service today. So before we start, I think there's something we like to clarify beforehand is we have a baby dedication service today. It has been asked, you know, hey, where's the baptismal service? Why don't you baptize your children at Calvary Gospel Church? And what I would say is that Calvary Gospel Church, we dedicate our children to the Lord. We do not baptize them. This is a sign that we are putting them in God's hands. Much like Hannah in the story of Samuel in the Old Testament, when she physically gave her son Samuel to the priests to work in the temple, once she had weaned him. Today, we symbolically put our kids in God's hands. Don't send them to come work at the church just yet. You know, they're just infants at this time. We symbolically put them in God's hand and know that he is able, just like in 1 Timothy, that he is able to keep and take care of whatever we commit to him. Which applies to more than just children, right? Anything we put in God's hands, God can take care of, right? Marriages, finances, struggles at work, you name it. In the Bible, we see where baptism, every time we talk about baptism, which is being fully submersed underwater, it requires understanding, repentance, and belief. As an infant cannot do these things, we do not baptize infants. Furthermore, just baptizing something without them understanding or believing or having repented is not accomplishing the purpose of it. And so today, our focus is on dedicating the child, committing the child to God, but more importantly, is committing our lives as parents. Right, parents? Committing to say, we want to raise this child in the ways of God. And you as family members saying, I want to be a part of helping this child to grow and be a good member of society. So With that said, we're gonna introduce some of the children's here. Pastor Roy's gonna hand out. We have a Bible for you. It's a really great Bible. You can start reading it whenever with your children. A little picture Bible and a certificate and a onesie. There's a onesie. So the first parents we would like to have stand is James and Rachel Novak. They're dedicating Elena Ann Novak. These pictures are always so cute. It's hard to choose just one, isn't it, when you do this? There's thousands of these pictures now. The next family is Phil and Brittany Stackhouse and their daughter Julia Stackhouse. So beautiful. She's looking like her brother, too. I can see it. And then the last family is Michael and Sarah Tesh, dedicating Lydia Tesh. I know these poses are not easy, trying to get them up there, propped up, smiling. Very well done there, Tesh family. It's apparently an all-girl baby dedication today, so that's exciting. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have the mom and dad, we're going to have you stand and bring your child to the front with your minister that's with you, if you could come to the front. And we're going to start with just that. Everybody can stay seated. We have a little bit of a charge for you, as well as I'm going to ask you some questions. And when I ask you, you could say, "We do," if it's your intent that you will try to follow those things. So for now, you can hold on to your child, and when we pray, you can hand your child over to the minister. Okay, and then at the end, church, remember I said all of you in the sanctuary, we all have a part in this too, right? We're all a part of this community, of this family, and so we have a little bit of a commitment as well. So moms and dads, let me talk to you first. Dedication is a time for parents to commit their child back to Jesus, realizing we are only stewards of his blessings in our lives. We are not committing them to God to raise them. Rather, we are committing that we as parents will raise our children in the ways of Christ, that we will dedicate our lives to following the ways of God and his word and training our children to do the same. To all the parents and family members and friends gathered here today, let this child be a reminder that we are always in much need of God's grace, God's love, and his presence. When this child runs into your arms and wants you to carry them, let it be a reminder that we can run into the arms of Jesus, where we will be surrounded by his presence and his love and his grace. Dads, let me talk to you for a minute. The relationship between a father and his child is very special. Be a leader and a guide to them, not through dictatorship, but through setting an example and serving them. Never let your responsibilities as a man get in the way of your God-given mandate of being a father. This all starts with your own relationship with your Heavenly Father. It is only out of this relationship we can truly live out what God has intended us as a man, husband, and father. Mothers, God has designed you uniquely to be the caregiver for your children, to nourish and comfort them. They will come to you when they are in need, and they will come to you when they are not in need. The love a mother can show to her children is incomparable. Never let your caregiving get in the way of your own relationship with your Heavenly Father. It is through your relationship with your Heavenly Father that you can live out the life God has for you as a woman, spouse, and mother. Parents, you're the example your children see more than any other. You create the normal that will begin to shape who they are and what they believe. Set that example in your marriage, in your responsibilities, and in your walk with God. Show them how to learn, how to grow, how to succeed, and how to fail. Show them how to live life God's way. So we're going to ask you some questions. Hey, we're used to this. Babies cry. It's a totally okay thing. Don't worry about it. They're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. So I'm going to ask you questions. You could say we do. She's already saying yes. I can hear it. So parents, do you now present your child before God with the purpose of dedicating your child to the Lord? You could say we do. Okay. Minister, do you consecrate yourselves, Parents, you consecrate yourselves as parents to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? It's a long one. Do you promise to try the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotion and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Church family, everybody out here, will you please stand with us this morning? If you accept this charge, you could say, "We will." Will you do all that you can to provide and support a place of instruction and community where this child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a family, a community, to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for these families? So if you're a family member here to support this couple and their child getting dedicated, could you gather around near them, kind of fan out around them near the front? We're going to say a prayer for this child, for these parents, for you as a family and friends, and for this congregation, that God would assist us in this process, that God would bless this child. If it feels right to you and you'd like to kind of reach forward and touch the person in front of you and as a sign of support, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, you can stand as well where you're at. Parents, if you would like to show a sign of giving your child to the Lord, could you hand your child to the minister as we begin this prayer? So awesome. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. God, on this special day, God, with these parents, Lord, that are dedicating these children to you, God. You know their hearts. You know their intents, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, this morning first for this child. God, I pray that you would protect this child, that you would bless this child. God, that your anointing would be on this child, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as it lives in this family, with this home, with these parents, God, that you would be with this child, that you would help it, God. Let your spirit speak into its heart and mind, God. God, let it know your love and your grace, Lord, as it grows. God, we pray for these parents. God, I pray, Lord, as they undertake this task, whether it's the first or second or third child, God, Lord, that you would give them the grace and mercy and compassion that they need. God, give them the wisdom and patience, God, Lord, to take on this task. God, Lord, give them the boldness and the courage, Lord, to set, Lord, your word and the things that you have commanded, Lord, to be first in their home. Help them to put you first in their lives, in their marriage, and in their home, God, so that their children can be benefited and their children can go. God, we pray for the family and friends that have come here to support them. God, we pray that you would encourage them. God, speak into their hearts. Let them feel your grace and your love this morning. God, and we pray for this community, God, this church as a whole. God, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts to be a community that loves you, to be a community that follows you, God, a community that wants to know you more, God, and feel your goodness and see your goodness in our life. God, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to let us be an example to families in this church and in this community. And God, we do this, we ask this all in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and to yourselves to the task of raising them for Christ, we charge you this morning to faithfully to address yourself faithfully to the sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. May God bless you in all your efforts. You can find your way back to your seat this morning. It's normal. John said, and now she stopped crying. I've been here 4 times. Some of them were great. Some of them cried. It's what it is. You can't pick the timing of the child, right? Sometimes they need to eat or get changed. It's just life. That's part of who it is. So you could be seated this morning. I'm so excited. This every year, Pastor Roy and I talk like, okay, we got a couple baby dedications, and this year we really wanted Pastor Roy to speak, and he felt really God gave him something for this morning. So can we give Pastor Roy a hand as he gives a message for us this morning?
Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here today, and it's so awesome to have the families, the Novaks and the Stackhouses and the Teshes, all of your families. It's so great to see some of you. Some of you, it's been a while. It's been weddings since I've last seen you, but so great to be here, and thank you so much for being part of this today. It's great to have Brother and Sister Chess on here, and if I understand this right, when Rachel was a baby, they dedicated Rachel, and here she is having her children dedicated and they being part of this. I think that's awful to have a powerful voice for this many years in their lives, and thank you so very much for being here today. It's great to have Bishop here. We're excited. So good to see him. And that's good to see my brother Johnny over there. He's recovering from open heart surgery. So there is a toilet, bro, that's plugged. I just wanted to let you know on your way out. He oversees our maintenance here, so I just got to throw a little bit of a plug in there. I just want to speak for just a few minutes this morning. This will not be a lengthy message. So if you have dinner plans by 2 o'clock, you'll be easily out of here by then. But it's a short passage. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. I personally want to be able to grow in wisdom and stature, and I would like to have the favor of both God and man. And I think that's something that we should all strive for. And so we're gonna talk a little bit today about some things are best learned from family. Some things are best learned from family. Awesome families encourage growth in their children. I've been to this church since 1972, and I've been in the Apostolic Pentecostal denomination or faith my entire life. I don't know anything other than this. I've seen a lot of families come and go. I've seen a lot of families grow up. I've been around a lot of folks over the years, and I've seen some families that are very powerful, strong, influential families, and I've seen some families that just always seemingly are struggling. And I wonder sometimes families that encourage growth in their children, typically the moms and dads are growing as parents. And it's important. Today, I'm really not talking to Elena and Julia and Lydia this morning. I'm talking to the moms and the dads and the aunts and the uncles, the grandmas and the grandpas. I'm talking to family and friends. Because, you see, it's all part of the family that encourage growth. I've had members in my own family. I've had uncles that have had tremendous influence in my life, along with my parents. And I've had aunts that have had influence and cousins that have had influence. So we go through life. We don't go through life solo as an island. God has placed us in family units for a purpose. There's a reason behind all of this, because in most families, there's strength in a family. There's encouragement in a family. There's power in a family. You're not fighting some of these battles by yourself. That's why God gave you a mom and a dad. When you're, up until 30, we let mom and dad fight our battles. Some of us, we at 5 years old, we declare ourselves independent. I don't need mom and dad anymore. We pack our bags and we go to the street corner and we're going to find a better life because mom and dad is mean. So we have all different kinds. But some families, awesome families, encourage growth. And how do they do this? How does one family encourage growth and another family seem to always struggle in this area? Well, it's because the awesome families that encourage growth, they create an atmosphere of not just learning on a temporal basis, but a lifelong learning. They instill it in you that, son, I remember my dad, son, I'm teaching you these things for a lifetime, not just for today, not just so you know how to do this today, but so you can do this when I'm no longer here, when you're out on your own and you're making your own way through life. So awesome families encourage growth by creating an atmosphere of lifelong learning. They help each other develop, and they encourage the discovery of each other's person's spiritual gifts as well as talents and abilities. And they allow people, they allow their children to learn new things and develop new interests. As I was a kid, I had so many different things I liked to do. I loved art. We grew up, we never had a TV in our home. It's not that probably we couldn't afford one, but I think that Dad just felt like that, you know what, I'd rather my boys be able to take and learn skills and have hobbies and be outdoors and not sit there for hours on end watching TV. So we didn't have a TV in the home. But boy, did we have a lot of fun as kids growing up. There were times in my life, we have children that struggle with identity today, and I'm not making fun of that, but there were times in my life that I was Daniel Boone for weeks on end. I would go out, and I would come home from school, and I would be reading in my history book or been reading about Davy Crockett or some of these old pioneers, Kit Carson, the Mountain Man. I could just imagine myself looking like Rick Wells. With a big beard and a buckskin and having a horse and eating and living off the land. My parents encouraged us to develop new things and new interests. You don't need necessarily a biological family to help you grow. Your church family, God has placed us within. Pastor Peter talked about that as a challenge to the church. We are all here to help your children grow. Some things you're never going to learn if you don't learn them in relationship with others. I learned how to get beat up by my brother. We're not going to go into that this morning. He's just recovering from a heart surgery, and I don't want to take and cause any undue stress on his life. But some things you can't learn. You can't learn at school. You can't learn them at work. You can only learn them with relationship with other people. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, but we need community. We need each other. In fact, most of your problems as an adult will more than likely come from the fact that you didn't learn certain things correctly as a child. Now, we could get into, this is a whole message within itself. But as a kid, as a young adult, I learned a lot of things on the school bus. And things were not always, I didn't always have the best of teachers on the school bus, nor the best of advice on the school bus, and none of it was godly. So today we're going to cover just what I would say are a few simple life lessons that are best learned as in a family. So some things best learned from family is you learn what to do with your feelings. Oh boy, I love this. I'm just going to tell you this morning, I'm old school. Okay, I grew up in a whole different century than most of the kids today. I'm 60 years old. Some of you are older than I am, but I grew up in the 1960s and 70s, the 1900s. We had yet to have answering machines. And we had rotary telephones that you would pick up and dial. And if you listened and you understood how that worked, it's fascinating that sparks can cause numbers to, you can connect to other people. We didn't have call waiting. We didn't have caller ID. VCRs were not yet invented. Nobody even understood what a computer could do, let alone the personal value of it. Gas was 19 cents a gallon. That's when I grew up. We ate crayons and survived. That's when I grew up. I was told that the more purple you eat, the purpler you'll become, and I am yet to hit purple. So some things are best learned from family. You learn what to do with feelings. In a healthy family, you learn how to identify. You learn how to own up to, and you learn how to express your feelings. Now, my brothers and I, there was three of us, and we were pretty good at this. And we learned how to express our feelings towards one another. And each one of my brothers knew how I felt about them at certain times. And I was not afraid to voice my opinion to my brothers. I did have a different respect for my father, on the other hand, though. I remember one time when I think I was 16, I got a little lippy out in the driveway, and the lippiness went into the garage. And I remember, maybe I shouldn't go there. But my father was not afraid of sparing the rod, spoiling the child, even at 16. And I remember my dad telling me a story when on his wedding, the morning he was getting married, his mom knocked him off the back porch with a mop because he lipped off to her. Is that correct, Bishop? Yeah, he's reluctantly nodding. I didn't get knocked off the back porch with the mop, but I found out how fast my father really was and what his old age at probably 40. You see, I learned how to deal with feelings and emotions. And awesome families should let everyone be honest and let kids express how they feel too. Now, there's a difference between lipping off and voicing your opinion. We need to learn how do we express our opinion. And this is where awesome families teach and train their children how to properly express your feelings. Typically, if you're a smart aleck as a kid, you're a smart aleck as an adult. You're one of those. Some things are best learned from family. You learn how to handle conflict. Wow. We live in a world today where so many people don't know how to deal with conflict. If you disagree with someone, you hate me. We live in a world today where if you disagree with me, then I don't like you. I will shun you. I will ghost you. I will do all of these. I will do whatever I can do to make life miserable for you. That's where we live in. Some things are best learned from family on how to deal and how to handle conflict. You know why kids today can't deal with and handle conflict? Because parents can't deal with and handle conflict. It gets passed down from generation to we are suffering today from generational curses. Where that every generation it gets a little bit more laxed and a little more laxed and a little more laxed, and we let other people teach and train and raise our children. Listen, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, cousins, teach your children how to handle conflict. You see, kids need to see their parents, not toe-to-toe fussing it out and arguing, but they need to see their parents resolving conflict. If your kids can't resolve conflict, it's because they're learning it from you. They learn it from you. If we as adults can't sit down at a table and solve our issues with our spouses or someone else in a healthy way and talk about our differences, listen, nobody in here is going to think, no one here thinks the same. We don't all think alike. We all have our own minds. We have our own thought processes. This is how God created us. It's awesome. There's not a world of 7 billion clones. There's a world of 7 billion independent thinkers. That's how God designed us. But the world is making us all wanting us all to be clones. I don't want to be a clone. I want to be able to think for myself. I want to be able to handle conflict. I want to be able to resolve conflict. Some things best learned from family is you learn how to handle loss. Years ago, my wife and I, we were visiting some friends and family, and they asked us if we wanted to play a game. And I like to play games. Not as much anymore. I know we have some gamers here that meet on Sundays and such. It's one of those things. As a growing up, I love to play games, but we were starting to play this game, and before we started the game, the mother let us know right away that we don't play to win. We're playing sorry. How many of you ever played sorry? Got the little bubble that you, or trouble? Is that trouble? Yeah, the little bubble that you push in. The dice pops up. That's trouble. Is that right? Okay. Might have got them mixed up. Anyway, it wasn't chutes and ladders. But I know what that one is. So we're playing. I think it was trouble, actually, where you push the little button and the little dice pops and you move around. And they're telling us right away that there are no winners and losers. And I'm like, well, what do you want to play the game for? What's the point in the game? Why do we need to? But we went along with it. And there were no winners and no losers, even though there actually was someone that came in first. And there was someone that lost, but we all celebrated because we were all winners. We were all happy. Let's all celebrate that we all won at trouble. Well, the problem is life isn't that way. You'd like to think it is in a perfect utopia in your own mind that we could all just be winners, but that's not that way. You see, growing up, I did not want my daughter to win all the time. You see, my father didn't let us win all the time. When we played a game or we were arm wrestling, I've never beat my father in arm wrestling. Now, I haven't arm wrestled him lately, only because I'm afraid I still might lose. But nevertheless, my father never, just for the sake of being dad, let us win. Because there are in life winners and there are losers. And I did not want my daughter to win all the time. Unfortunately, the sting of defeat sometimes helps make you a better person. It pushes you just a little bit more to be able to feel that I didn't get first place. Now all you got to do is show up and you get a trophy. I told you I was born in a different century, a different millennia. We didn't get trophies if we didn't win first place, Brother Rico. And if you didn't win first place, you didn't deserve to win first place. Whoever put the effort in to get there first deserved to win the trophy. You might have got a follow-up, or there might have been something for second and third place. But you see, if you don't want to teach your kids to win, if you want to teach your kids to, if your kids are in a habit of winning all the time, you're going to find it that it's going to be devastating when they face inevitable losses in a real adult world. They need to learn that failure won't destroy them. It's not the end of their life or the end of their world if they get a B in biology. You use that moment to teach them. that failure won't destroy them, and that a loss isn't the end of the world. I remember a young man that came to our church a number of years ago that he was contemplating suicide. That's how he ended up in church. And when he was asked, why did you get to this point in life? It's because he received his first B ever in college. He was a college student at the UW. I was thinking about that when I heard that story, and I'm like, good Lord, I would have loved to have had a B. I was familiar with C's and D's. I did get some A's at history, biology. I loved biology. I loved history. I didn't like English. Didn't care for it much. Didn't see much of a point for algebra. I don't care what A squared times B squared equals. It doesn't matter to me any because I don't square A and I don't square B. What's the point? But I found out when I got into plumbing that I needed algebra. So I had to go back and I had to dig out some old ACE paces. And I had to relearn some of those things because now I see the value. Now I know what why A squared times B squared. I got it now. But you see, a loss in life is not going to destroy you. It's not going to teach your children how to lose gracefully. Don't let them throw temper tantrums. Some adults, you lose, they throw temper tantrums. Accept the loss, grow from it, and move forward. Some things are best learned from family. You learn which values matter most. And we're going to get into a little bit of something you're probably not expecting here today. You see, it's important to teach kids the three most basic temptations that they're going to face in life. And so that they're not going to be swayed by what the world values. I'm going to say this again, but I'm going to say it right now. If you don't instill values into your children, somebody else is going to. You understand that? If you don't instill values into your children, someone else is going to. So when we look at this, it's important to teach our children three basic temptations of life. And these temptations have to do with how you feel, what you do, and what you get in life. In other words, we need to teach our children about sex. Uh-oh. Is he really going there? We need to teach our children about salary. And we need to teach our children about status. All right? Because I'm not going to get into the details in all of these, so don't panic. It's your responsibility, parent, to teach your children about these things. And we don't always like to talk about these. But I promise you as a parent that these three points will be the biggest temptations your children will ever have to deal with in life. Do not avoid talking about them. If you don't approach these topics, trust me, they're going to learn them. And they're going to learn them from someone else that you don't necessarily want teaching them about that. One of the biggest reasons our kids are being fed such plain lies when it comes to these topics is because years ago, parents decided that it was better for them to learn it from someone else than me to have to teach them. So we have generations of families of children that grew up and they have a skewed view of what sex really is and what it's intended for. And the purpose behind it. We have kids that have a skewed view of salary, money, work, and a skewed view of status. on what does it mean to actually, we have a generation of people that are striving to be relevant no matter what the cost. I want to be relevant. I want to be. It just boggled me when Pastor Peter shared that statement with us about the Chinese children. The number one thing they wanted to be was an astronaut. When they were polled, an astronaut, because it's a huge thing in China. If you're going to grow up and be an astronaut, that's something that the Chinese children, that was number one on their list. Number one for American children on their list was social influencer. There's something wrong here. It didn't just break in this generation. It broke years ago, and we never took the time to fix it. We have to fix this, folks. Not just as a family, as a church, as a community. So parents decided it was better for their kids to learn about sex, salary, and status from other people. And they stopped teaching and training their children. Teach them your biblical values. Listen, if you do not instill or teach into them your value system, somebody else will instill theirs. That's why we have what we have today. Some things are best learned from family. You learn good habits from family. Good habits from family. Habits determine your character. You see, families should help each other grow so that everyone's character is not more like mom and dad's character. But we need to teach our children that your character needs to be like Jesus' character. Brother Seidel did a phenomenal job in an adult Bible class this morning talking about forgiveness. We need to teach our children to forgive. Why is there no forgiveness or very little tolerance and very little forgiveness in our world today? Because we're not teaching our children to forgive. We're teaching them to get even. It's all about me, folks. This is all about me today. That's what we teach our children. You got to take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to take care of you. So basically, as a parent, you're now relinquishing. They're saying, it's not my responsibility to take care of you either. No. Teach your children good habits. This just sounds so silly, but you know how I learned to brush my teeth? My mom and dad taught me how to brush my teeth. That's a good habit to learn, by the way. Just throwing it out there. You know how I learned how to shave? Yep, my dad taught me. My brother John attempted to teach me, but I think he sabotaged me because I ended up with so many Band-Aids on my face that I'm not quite for sure that's how it's supposed to be done. But you know how I learned so many of these good habits that I have determined or I have in my life? As my parents taught them to me. I learned from my father. I learned from my mother. I learned from people like Bill and Carolyn Thorpe, from Aunt Jan Rager, from Ron Wittenbach. Some of these older saints that when I was growing up had influence in my life. That's why it's important as older saints. Never give up. You're influencing people, whether you realize it or not. So families should help each other grow so that everyone's character is more like Jesus Christ. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we start making changes today. Today. So that your family, doesn't matter to me whether it's your biological family or we have a number of folks that have adopted children here at Calvary Gospel Church. It doesn't matter if your children are adopted. It's irrelevant or spiritual. We need to make changes so that your family, so that this, your family, this church is a safe environment for everyone to learn and to grow. Because according to Luke chapter 2, Jesus grew and wisdom and in stature. I want our children to grow in wisdom and in stature. And I want them to have favor with both God and with man. As a pastor, if I can get your children, if we can get your children to grow in wisdom and stature and have favor with God and with man, then we've done our job. That's what our job as a parent is to do, to teach our children, to grow our children. Let's stand this morning. It's 12 noon right on the dot. And as we close out this baby dedication service, it is, once again, it's so great to have all of you here today and the families. But I always like to end, I don't just like ending messages and just saying, okay, here's the word and, you know, take what you can take. And but you see, this was the awesome thing about Jesus is he always demanded some kind of a response or action. Now, I'm not Jesus today, but I'm preaching from his word. So I would say that if Jesus was here today, he would ask you this question: how can I create an atmosphere of learning within my family? What can I do? What can I do? How can I better teach my children as a grandparent? It's our grandparents that are here today, and my challenge to you would be that as a grandparent, when your grandchildren come over, I love just bringing my grandkids over and spoiling them rotten and sending them home. Filling them full of pizza and Mountain Dew and saying, you know what? But you see, also, there are times where that I've worked with my grandson. We're working on a project together, Brother Pete. And little guy, I mean, it was quite. It was putting down a deck. He wanted a loft in a play area. So I said, well, Poppy will help you build it, but you got to help me. And we had 3.5-inch screws and hundreds of them. And he started screwing those deck boards down, and he got about all the way to the end, but he had 2 deck boards left. He's like, Poppy, I'm just tired. I was tired, too. I was like, man, this little guy's going to kill me. But I wanted to learn a lesson. Not a huge lesson, but just a valuable lesson. Sometimes when you're tired, you got to finish what you start. That's the way it works. That's the way it works on the job. I was a plumber. Boy, there are times I'd love to just go home at 4 o'clock, but you know what? Some poor family wouldn't have any water, wouldn't have any toilets, wouldn't have anything all night long. So I decided sometimes you got to finish what you start. So I took that moment as a grandpa. You know what, Cole? 24 screws per board, 48 more screws, and we're done. And we can go swimming. Let's just get this done. All right. And you know what? We got it done. So how can I create an atmosphere of learning within my family? Why does it seem harder to teach children today how to handle loss in today's culture? Why is it harder? Ask yourself that question. Maybe it's because we as a parent, as a grandparent, have never learned how to handle loss. What are the values that matter most to me? Dads, I want to challenge you here this morning. What values most? What matters most to you? What is it? You have all girls. What is it that you want to take and teach and instill into your daughters? What matters the most? And what are the biblical values that we want to teach children? What is it that we have personal values? We have biblical values. What do we want to teach our children? As we ponder on these 4 questions, I would ask our worship team to begin to sing. And I want to throw this out to everyone here. These questions, It's not just for our families on the front row today. It's for all of us. What do I want to be? What do I want to become? What do I want to be noted for? What do I want to instill in? So as we open up this altar area this morning, up front here, if you'd like to come forth together as a family, a husband, a couple, I'll leave that up to you. I know some of you have, it's been long days for the children. After the service out in the vestibule, we have areas you can take your families and take pictures. But God bless you and thank you for coming. Let's pray.
Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
From my heart to the
you so very much to the Novak family, the extended family, for being here today, and the Stackhouses. So great to have all of our family here today, and the Teshes. We love these families, appreciate them. And God bless you all. And God bless the grandmas and grandpas, and the aunts and the uncles, and the moms and the dads, the cousins. Thank you so very much for coming out today. Wednesday evening, we'll be back here for service. Brother Peter Sandin with our family ministries. I actually think Sister Jessica Rivest has a lesson for us on Wednesday evening. Family ministry team. So God bless you. Have a very blessed week. Enjoy the beautiful, beautiful day we have today. And we will see you back here. God bless.